Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Verse Number 20. Tatrendo rojanastvasit Devascha tushidadayaha Urjastambhadayah sapta Rishayo Brahmavadinaha Tatrendo Rojanastvasid Devascha Tushidadayaha Urjastambhadayah Sapta Rishayo Brahmavadinaha Tatrendo Rojanastvasid Devascha Tushidadayaha Urjastambhadayah Sapta Rishayo Brahmavadinaha Mataji's. Tatrendo rajanastvasi Rishayo Brahmavadinaha. Word to word translation, responsively please. Tatra Indins Manandara Indraha Indra Rochanaha Rochana the son of Yajna. Tu but Asit became Devaha demigods. Cha also. Tushita adayaha. Tushita and others. Urja. Urja. Stambha. Stambha. Adayaha. And others. Sapta. Seven. Rishayaha. Great saints. Brahmavadinaha. All faithful devotees. During the reign of Sarochisha, the post of Indra was assumed by Rojana, the son of Yajna. Tushita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stambha, and others became the seven saints. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord. Rishetu Vedashirta Tushita Nama Patnya Bhut Tasyam Jatne Tato Devo Vibhur Iti Abhivishrutaha. It's the next verse, 21. Vedashira was a celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatara named Vibhu. 22. Ashtashiti sahasrani munayoye dhrita vrataha anyashikshan vratam tasya kaumara brahmacharinaha. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. 23. Tritiya uttamo nama priyavrata suto manuhu pavana srinjayo yajna hotradastat suta nrapa. O king, the third manu uttama was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of this manu were Pavana, Sanjaya, and Yajna Hotra. 24. Vasishta Taneha Sapta Rishaya Pramadadaya Satya Veda Shruta Bhadra Deva Indrastu Satyajit. During the reign of the third manu, Pramada and other sons of Vasishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, Vedashrutas, and Bhadras became demigods, and Satyajit was selected to be Indra, the king of heaven. 25. Dharmasya sunratayam tu Bhagavan Purushottamaha Satyasena iti ghyato jata satyavratai saha. In this manantara, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared from the womb of Sunrata, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasena, and he appeared with other demigods known as Satyavratas. Verse 26. Sonratavrata Dushilan Asado Yaksharakshasan Bhudadruho Bhudaganam Chavadhi Satyajit Sakaha. Satyasena, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven, Indra killed all the untruthful, impious, and misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pain to other living beings. Verse 27. Chadurtha uttama bhrata manur namna cha tamasaha prithu khyadir narakedur ityadya dashatat sutaha. The brothers of the third manu uttama was celebrated by the name Tamasa, and he became the fourth manu. Tamasa had 10 sons headed by prithu, khyadi, nara, and ketu. Verse 28. Satyaka Harayo Vira Devastrishika Ishwaraha Jodidhama Dayasapta Rishaya Tamasendare. During the reign of Tamasamanu, among the demigods were the Satyakas, Haris, and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trishika. The sage in Saptarshidhama were headed by Jodidhama. Verse 29. Deva, Deva vai dhritayo nama, vithrite stanayanrupa, nashta kalena yerveta, vithrita svena tejasa. O king, in the Tamasamanundra, the son of Vidhriti, who were known as the Vaidhritis, also became demigods. Since in course of time, the Vedic authority was lost, These demigods, by their own powers, protected the Vedic authority. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. In the Tamasa Manandara, there were two kinds of demigods, and one of them was known as the Vaidhutis. The duty of the demigods is to protect the authority of the Vedas. The word Devata refers to one who carries the authority of the Vedas, whereas Rakshasas are those who defy the Vedic authority. If the authority of the Veda is lost, the entire universe becomes chaotic. Therefore, it is the duty of the demigods as well as kings and aides of the government to give full protection to Vedic authority. Otherwise, human society will be in a chaotic condition in which there cannot be peace or prosperity. I'll read a couple of more verses because there's a very connected purport is coming through. Verse 30. Tatra vijatne bhagavan harinyam harimedhasaha harir iti ahruto yena gajendro mochito grahat. Also, in this manantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimedha, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. Verse 31. Sri Rajo Vacha Badarayana Edatte Shrodum Ichamahe Vayam Hariryatha Gajapatim Graha Grastam Amu Muchut. The King Parikshit said, "My Lord Badarayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari." So, last verse for today is verse 32. Tat kathasu mahatpunyam dhanyam satyayanam shubham yatra yatrottamashloko bhagavan giyate harihi. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead Uttama Shloka is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as Bhagavad Gita and The Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rekunadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gauraki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Galpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahabhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime Hare Krishna. So this canto is explaining different Manus and their descendants, because this is the characteristics of a Mahapurana. Tatra sargascha visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manyantareshanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. These are the 10 subject matters which are described in second canto, 10th chapter. The 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these subjects must be described in any Mahapurana. So one of the subject matter is manyantara. Manvantara means changing of Manus. Who are they? Manus are the universal rulers. Our vision is very microscopic, very tiny. We only see what's going on at this point in this world currently. We may see a few decades, maybe a few hundred years. And if you stretch too much, maybe 1,000 years or maybe 2,000. After that, everything becomes prehistoric according to the modern historians. Prehistoric. It's not undefined. So there were so many barbarians living in the prehistoric times. This is the viewpoint of current historians. However, the reality is something else as described by Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. We always had a very profound, elevated civilization, and it lasted not just thousands of years, but millions of years. And here we are bringing a time scale which is multi-millions of years. That's what we are talking about. Here in these pages, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter, we can hear about different Manus starting from Swayambhuva Manu. Indeed, we already went through the pastimes of Swayambhuva Manu in the very beginning of 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Swayambhuva Manu approached his father. Who is that? Lord Brahma. So that's why Swayambhu, who is Swayambhu? One of the synonym, another name of Brahma is Swayambhu. Since this Manu was born from Brahma, he is known as Swayambhuva Manu, Swayambhuva, one who is born from Swayambhu. So this is the qualification of this Manu, the first Manu, and the rest of the Manus are descendants of first Manu. That's why it's mentioned Sarochisha Manu, then it was mentioned Uttama Manu, then here the fourth Manu is described. We are actually entering into the Manvantara of fourth Manu in the description which you are going to read right now, the further chapters. What is that? Which Manu is that? Tamasa Manu. He is the fourth Manu, Tamasa Manu. So it's very important to know about this particular Manu. Why? Because very important pastimes are described. Now, even though the descriptions of Manus are given very chronologically in this chapter, the entire Bhagavatam not necessarily follow any chronology. Bhagavatam not necessarily present all historical narrations of the universe during different Manvantaras. So it's not a history book. If we want to know whole history based on Srimad Bhagavatam, we may fail. Why? Why is it so? The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to inspire us to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that which help us to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described. It's not everything. So we have to be very mindful while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see that there is no chronology followed as such. Currently, we're going to hear from about this Manu, which one, the Tamasa Manu. But in the previous chapter, which Manu was described? Previous canto, which Manu was described? The seventh canto. We heard pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narasimhadev Bhagavan. So in that, which Manu was ruling that time? Any idea? It was Chakshusha Manu. It's the sixth Manvantara. Chakshusha Manu. And the current Manvantara is? Vaivashvada Manvantara. The current, now, not what you're going to read in Bhagavatam, where we are living in. This is Vaivashvada Manvantara. Vaivashvada Manu is ruling. This is the seventh Manvantara. So when we hear ninth canto especially, we can hear about the what happened during the Vaivashvada Manvantara. Lord Ramachandra's pastime, tenth canto, Krishna's pastime, everything took place in the current Manvantara. Because it just happened, Krishna appeared only 5,000 years back. That is Vaivashvada Manvantara. So when we see the time scale that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very vast. And it is very detailed in one sense. But not all activities, all histories are not presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that history is chronological nonsense. Because what happened in the history? History is simply presenting everything, but what is the purpose? It is simply nonsense. What's happening? What's going on in history? Any idea? Four things. Ahara, Nidra, Bhayam, Ayudhanam cha. That's all. We can see, we can hear different flavors of these four activities. Eating, mating, sleeping and defending. That's all history about. So the Vedic sages didn't give so much of importance to chronological history, just presenting everything. Okay, we have accurate record of this world from beginning till now. There can be many, many more volumes. There is no need of that. Rather, whatever is presented is to inspire us to take up Krishna consciousness. To know about great devotees. So when we hear about Manus, they are great devotees, as mentioned here. Because they became the progenitors, they became Manu. And under Manu, different demigods appear. Different sets of demigods come. So please understand the position of Manu. And also very instructive in these verses, we clearly understand that the demigods are nothing but position. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, etc. They are all position rather than personality themselves. Because it very clearly mentioned who became the demigods at one point, who became Indra. Similarly, the great sages who live in Maharloka, up even beyond Sargaloka, there is Janaloka, Maharloka. The seven sages who are living there, that is also position. Saptarishi. All of you must have heard about Saptarishis. So Saptarishis, that is also position. The qualified sages who are coming in the line of Manu, they occupy those posts. Can you imagine? So there is a universal management. Even though, because of our microscopic vision, we only see chaos in this world, which is true, the wars are going on all the time. At the same time, we need to understand that there is an overarching government. There is overarching universal government now as well. So this is the macroscopic vision provided by Srimad Bhagavatam. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked this question. Because this is in the 70s, the nuclear war is going to start. The third world war is going to start. So if countries bomb each other with nuclear bombs, what's going to happen to this world? In the question, the whole world is destroyed. Assume the whole world is destroyed in a way that it cannot be repaired. So what will happen? Can the Yuga cycle continue? Can the Satyuga come after some time? How is it possible? Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada said, it's not a big deal. Even if you create utmost chaos in this world, even if you destroy the world, whatever way you can, still demigods can recreate like this. So even for demigods, forget about Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can, he does just think. Even demigods can fix the problems of this world if they want. It's not that humans are in control. We can do whatever we want. This is only illusion. Can you understand? So these demigods, who are these demigods? Even these demigods are under Manu. This is the reality of the situation. Even these demigods are under Manu. And here, as Maharaj Parikshit was hearing Manvantaras, different Manus and their progenies, how they occupied the position of Saptarishis as well as Devatas. Now, when it came to Tamasa Manu, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear about whom? Gajendra. Can you imagine? So, Parikshit Maharaj is not switch off. If you hear what happens, if you keep reading the verses, almost all of you might have switched off. Right? It happens. If you keep reading the verse and translation, everyone will go, oh, yeah, there's just so many names. Usually there is a complaint. 8 canto problem. Too many names. 8 canto is used by gurus. It's mentioned. 8 canto is for gurus. Why? If they want to choose names for their disciples, they can pick 8 canto and they give some names. So, one Maharaj was mentioning. Yeah, for gurus it is quite useful. Okay, so many, you want some names? Okay, there are matching names here. Here we go. So, this is 8 canto and we can very easily switch off. But, Maharaj Parikshit didn't switch off. So when, when Sukadeva Goswami mentioned about Gajendra, immediately Parikshit Maharaj caught that. I want to hear about Gajendra in detail. So that's why we can see in the next chapter, it's a beautiful chapter, the crisis of Gajendra, Gajendra Moksha, that we can hear, and beautiful prayers of Gajendra. So it's a very, very auspicious start into the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is mentioned, the beginning and end of canto is very auspicious. Even beginning and end of first canto, beginning of first canto means beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, very auspicious. Even end of Srimad Bhagavatam, very auspicious. Nama Sankirtanam is glorified, the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The very last verse. In the, there are how many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000, right? In the 18,000, in the last verse, is glorifying Nama Sankirtanam, Harinama Sankirtanam. So this is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if there is no government and governmental aides who are enforcing and who are making sure that the Vedic authority is maintained, there will be chaos in the society, and that we can see all the time. There is chaos in all possible levels. If you consider on a very micro level, on a microscopic level, on an individual level, if you see, there is chaos going on in everyone's mind. Agree? So much of mind-related issues everywhere. In India, in the Western world, so much of money is dumped for that. Oh, we had to fix the mental issues of this world. It's a big problem. And always complaint is, not enough funding is provided. It's a, always a complaint here in Australia. Not enough funding for mind-related issues. Then what to speak about the lower habits that one is keeping? So difficult. What to keep up is, if you move away from individual, if you get into the family unit, what's the situation here? Family units are broken apart very badly. So that's why we have the social support system. And the money is given, there's NDIS scheme is there. And a lot of money is spent on that. Why? Because the family cannot look after. The family units have broken. So now the government has to step in where the countries, the government has money. If not, just deal with the chaos. If the family is broken, no problem. It's your problem. Nobody is there to look after. So if you see individual level there are problems, family level there are problems. And in the society level, there are utter chaos. Then if you consider on a global level, what's going on? There is always some wars that are going on. Always. It's only question where and how big. That's the only thing. So this is the material world. And Krishna, right in the beginning, explains what is the root cause of all the problems. What is the root cause of all the problems? Yes, forgotten Krishna, ignorance, and no understanding who we really are. When we understand who we really are and who we are part of, then there is a solution to the problem. If you don't know that, there is no solution. We can do any patchwork as we want, but still that will not give any solution. So that's what is mentioned here. Unless and until we turn to Krishna, understanding we are spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, there is no solution to all these problems, right from individual level to the global level. There is no solution. And that's been proven repeatedly in the history, right? If you want to study history, you can understand how there is no solution on the material plane. So that's been proven again and again. And so Srila Prabhupada is recommending. What is the recommendation? The government is not able to solve all these problems. What I will do, I will read one more verse before we finish, because that will be the end of the chapter. I don't want to leave one verse. I didn't realize that that was the last verse. I will read that also before we finish. So Srila Prabhupada is recommending what? Who can tell? We can see all these problems. Then what is the recommendation of Srila Prabhupada? Not exactly. Yes, but not exactly. In this purport. Yeah, close. Spread Krishna consciousness worldwide. This is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So just as avatars appear in this world with a mission, similarly, pure devotees come to this world with a mission. And Srila Prabhupada's mission is very clear. Do you know what was the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Eh? Yes, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. By first activity in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. What was the first activity of Srila Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world? Okay, we have only few answers. Books, prasadam, temples, chanting. We covered all the main things. Prabhupada's first mission is to write books. Because books are the basis. So Srila Prabhupada started writing. Prabhupada understood to establish a movement, to have a revolution in this world, he has to write books. And is this an independent endeavor? Is it an independent idea came to Srila Prabhupada's mind? No. There is a very interesting story Prabhupada narrated. Prabhupada told this couple of times. One time, Prabhupada came back to India from an African country. So there was this particular disease, I forgot the name. And because of that, Srila Prabhupada was quarantined. Srila Prabhupada was quarantined. Means few days, he cannot go anywhere. Now we are well aware of quarantine after COVID, right? Week, 2 weeks, long quarantine. So similarly, back then, Srila Prabhupada was quarantined along with his servant. Who? Bhavananda Prabhu. Then what happened? So Prabhupada was telling, I shouldn't have come to this world. I shouldn't have come to this world. Krishna forced me to come here. I shouldn't have come. So Bhavananda Prabhu asked, what happened? What are you speaking? He said, I was asked by Krishna to come to this world, to this material world, from Goloka Vrindavan, from the spiritual world. And Prabhu said, I don't want to go, Krishna. Can you see? This is the relationship of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And Prabhu said, no, I don't want to go. He told Krishna, I don't want to go. Prabhu said, you only do one thing, you go to this material world and write books. And I will provide all the support. So that's why the first mission of Srila Prabhupada is to write books. So indeed, he started writing. When Srila Prabhupada wrote any offering or anything, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told his disciples, Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, whatever he writes, publish. A standing instruction by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj to his disciples. Whatever he writes, publish it. Can you see? Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj understood the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very pleased by the writings of Srila Prabhupada. So he started writing in a very humble way. Start few articles, back to Godhead magazines. And then he started his journey writing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the most important work, magnum opus of Srila Prabhupada. The most important work, Srimad Bhagavatam. And that we have, if we are reading this purport, even though a short purport, it carries so much of weight. Can you imagine, where is it coming from? It is coming from Srila Prabhupada, meaning it is coming from the spiritual world. This is coming from Krishna. Can you see? This is by Krishna's inspiration, Krishna's instruction it is coming. One time, we know this pastime again, that Srila Prabhupada was interviewed by a journalist. And Prabhupada said, these books are dictated by Krishna and I am simply speaking. Krishna is inspiring. Krishna is telling me and I am simply writing. That time, I forgot which devotee. The devotee there, he told Srila Prabhupada, I can't remember whether it was Rameshwar Prabhu or someone else, told Prabhupada, Prabhupada means, he actually came in between the conversation to the reporter and told, what Prabhupada means is, Krishna is giving the inspiration. Prabhupada said, no. It's not just Krishna is giving the inspiration, but Krishna is dictating and I am simply writing. So see the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books, directly coming from Krishna. That's why we don't change Srila Prabhupada's books. It is so powerful, so potent, very, very powerful, because the source is completely divine. And because of that, by these books, there was major impact in this world, back in the days and now. Whoever reads Srila Prabhupada's books, there will be transformation. Yesterday I had a class, I was making the point that even if you don't understand, read Srila Prabhupada's books. Some canto, if you read some chapters of Bhagavad Gita, some verses, purport, we may not understand. It happens? Yes. But keep reading. Why? Because if we have the desire, or if we are simply trying to serve Srila Prabhupada by reading these books, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. More than that, Krishna will be pleased. Because Krishna's order has been carried out by Srila Prabhupada. And we are taking part in that mission. To start with, simply reading those books. Krishna will be pleased. Sure enough, all the understanding will come. It's only question when, that's all. But all the understanding will come to the heart. That's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized, everyone must read the books. We don't want a sentimental society. If the society is not based on Shastra, then we'll have a bunch of sentimentalists. Prabhupada said, I don't want such kind of a society. What will happen? Then, after Prabhupada understood, if he leaves this society, when he leaves this world, this society can crumble, which has happened to many societies. Isn't it true? Many societies, many spiritual organizations, many spiritual societies have crumbled after the departure of the founder leader, which is a reality. At least their strength will reduce. But that is in the case of ISKCON. When Srila Prabhupada left, Srila Prabhupada established how many temples? 108 temples. Now if you see how many temples are there around the world? Yeah. 500-600 temples are there at least. Can you imagine? So there is growth even after the departure of Srila Prabhupada. So this is very important. This is very important. And more devotees than Srila Prabhupada's time. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada left the legacy and he gave the very prominent instruction that the society has to be run based on his teachings, which are written in the books. Not only books. Books are very important. If you understand, if you want to know Srila Prabhupada's teaching, which is on the top level, what is on the top level? Teachings. So Srila Prabhupada's teachings are available in many ways, right? So what is on the top level, top of the list? Srila Prabhupada's purports. Bhaktivedanta purports and on the top level. Why? Because it is for everyone for all the time. What is on the next level? Lectures, that's right. Then next level is lectures, because lectures can be for a particular audience. So a particular issue can be addressed pertaining to a particular place, correct? So that is on the next level. So we had to understand the context of the lecture as well. Next level, morning walk conversations. Because morning walk is also very important, because Srila Prabhupada wanted to answer the questions many devotees may have, or even many atheists may have many arguments against Krishna consciousness. So he wanted to clarify all of them. So that is the importance of morning walk conversations. Prabhupada would ask, okay, now you are a scientist, ask question. You are an atheist, ask questions. Or someone will join in and challenge Srila Prabhupada. A classic one I have heard by kind of a Buddhist Mayavadi kind of a person in Juhu Beach. Prabhupada was walking along with the disciples and he just kept asking questions which were quite absurd. And whatever Srila Prabhupada says, it's not going inside. Such kind of a Mayavadi misconception. And it is mentioned, after that walk, Srila Prabhupada said, when I am walking on Juhu Beach, no more talking, we will simply chant. Prabhupada had enough. This person simply wasted the time asking these questions, and Prabhupada was answering, still nothing is going inside. So this is the third level, that is the morning walk conversations. And then fourth level, yeah, letters. You can say letters and room conversations, pretty much similar, because that is very, very specific instructions to an individual or a group of individuals. So in this way, we can understand Srila Prabhupada has given so much of teaching, and there is gradation in one sense, and we need to understand everything appropriately. Otherwise, we can come to wrong conclusions. We can come to wrong conclusions, because one instruction for a singular devotee could be for a particular purpose that may not be applicable as a general principle throughout. So this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, first to give knowledge. And then Srila Prabhupada, here Prabhupada explains about Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, and Srimad Bhagavatam. These four books, very important, right? Who can remember what Srila Prabhupada mentioned specifically if one can study thoroughly all these four books? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Bhagavad Gita. If one can properly study these books, then what will happen? Prabhupada made a very interesting statement. Only these four books. If you study these four books, then you can become a spiritual master for the whole world. It's not that we had to study all the Vedic literature, whatever is available. If these four books, if you study properly and apply in our life, one can become a guru. Not necessarily Diksha. One can become Shiksha Guru, at least. One can instruct others based on these books. But that in itself is a struggle, right? Is that easy? No, it's not easy. We have to dedicate some time for studies. That's why we have to develop the habit of reading books. We have to do courses. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. In this temple, all these courses are running. Interestingly enough, right? It's amazing. You know, in the world only there are very few temples where all these four courses are running simultaneously. Maybe three temples in the whole world, three or four temples in the whole world where all these four courses are running at this point in time. So we had to give emphasis to study. But along with that, there is something which is even more important. If we have too much of eating, what will happen? There will be indigestion. Similarly, if you only study, there will be some indigestion will take place. Generally, it's not here, it is the head. One can become puffed up. If you study too much, one will think I am a pundit. Then I can tell whatever, I can tell everyone whatever to do. So one can become a bit puffed up if simply study without application. And that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized distribution of these books. Distribution of these books. If you go out and if you distribute these books, what will happen? Yes, it will purify us for sure. Even if no one takes any books, still we'll get purified. More purification, right? Even no one takes any books, but it's highly beneficial for us. So this is the process. So we cannot undermine preaching activities. So our purpose is not just to do courses, to read, but to apply and share this with everyone. And then we can make progress in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada set very, very high example for this. Who is the original book distributor? In ISKCON? Yes, Srila Prabhupada is the original book distributor. We know how he personally distributed Back to God at magazine in Delhi and other places. You know, hit with sunstroke. You know, so difficult. And when he came to US, he did the same thing. Right? In the initial days, if you read, he will go for the program. He has his copies of Srimad Bhagavatam. He would sell, get a donation. So this was started by Srila Prabhupada. So book distribution is very essential. And that is not just now, even it started straight after the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. The followers of Lord Chaitanya, they started the original book distribution party, right? All the books were written by Goswamis in Vrindavan, and they had this mission of disseminating this knowledge primarily the area of Bengal and Orissa. Then Jiva Goswami sent three stalwart acharyas to distribute books. They sent the original manuscripts. Who are these three acharyas? Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, and Srinivas Acharya. So they brought all the books, the original manuscripts from the Goswamis. And how did they distribute these books? By handwriting. So they wanted scribes who can write, those who had good handwriting. And it takes so long to write each book. So it is written, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, thousands of verses. Three copies of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was distributed. Nectar devotion is small, but Bhakti Rasamrita is the original one, so many verses, everything handwritten. So this is how they distributed books back in the days, and they had the book distribution scores sent to Jiva Goswami. This many books were distributed. So the parampara is continuing. So Srila Prabhupada continued the parampara by distributing books and engaging devotees in book distribution, in this way spreading Krishna consciousness worldwide. So now it's our responsibility to take it seriously. Isn't it? There are different campaigns running. What is that? Oh bad campaign is running now. What is that? Oh bad. But it's oh good campaign actually. It is not oh good, it's all good campaign. Why? One book a day. One book a day campaign. Every day distribute one book. This is it is an interesting campaign. And last time we had this campaign, so many books were distributed. It forces one to go out and distribute books. And have books in your bag. Whoever you meet, just ask. Yare dekho, tare kaho, Krishna upadesh. So this is actually very practical if you think about. This is the real application of Bhagavad Gita. This is the real application of Chaitanya Charitamrita. My spiritual master always says that whatever Krishna taught in Bhagavad Gita, what is the final instruction of Krishna? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. give up all religiosities and surrender unto me. That and yare dekho tare kaho Krishna Upadesh, they are one and the same. So you can surrender unto Krishna by preaching Krishna consciousness. So this is what we need to do. So we need to take opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. So we learn and we distribute. Otherwise, we are not here simply to learn. Too much of mercy. Too much of shower means one will get cold. So, no, we had to distribute. We had to take it out, give it to others. So that way we will make progress. So here, this is the request of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, this is my request. There is a beautiful book, small book with Prabhupada's pictures, Prabhupada's quotes on book distribution. This is my request. Srila Prabhupada is requesting everyone to spread this knowledge. And especially it is mentioned, it has to be spread especially by sannyasis. We can see in Krishna consciousness movement, sannyasis are taking the lead role. Right? Very powerful. Now, past many days, His Holiness Sri Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj was giving wonderful lectures. Maharaj was doing so many programs here. And before that, we had a series of sannyasis visited here. Right? Before him was Subhag Maharaj. Before that, Devamrita Maharaj. Before that, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. So, this is the duty of sannyasis, to preach. Tattva Samshuddhi. They are purified one sense by preaching Krishna consciousness. So this is very important, and we can see in our society the renounced order, and especially sannyasis are taking charge of it. They are leading the way, but it's not limited to sannyasis. It is for everyone. Now we will read the final verse and we'll conclude, and that will be the conclusion of this chapter as well. That's why I'm going to read this verse. Shri Suta Uvacha. That's okay. You don't need to repeat. Parikshitaivam Satubadarayani Prayopavishtena Katha Suchodita Uvacha Vipra Pradinandya Parthivam Mudamuninam Sadasesma Shrinvatam. O Suta Goswami, O Brahmana, when Parikshit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Sugadev Goswami to speak. Sugadev Goswami, encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 1st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Manus Administrators of the Universe. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Maybe you can. Somebody can hand over the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. We often heard that Prabhupada said that, you know, my books will take you a whole lifetime just to understand them, or even more. And Prabhupada says that actually, you know, I've put everything in my books. All you need to know is within my books. But then also we sometimes, you know, we kind of, we hear devotees, they read, you know, like the Acharya's books as well, or maybe other like spiritual masters. Like how do we, like what should be our diet? Should we just focus on reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Or should we, you know, once we finish reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we can, you know, branch out to other Acharyas, other spiritual masters? Like what is the understanding of that?
I will repeat what I heard from my spiritual master, so that I don't have to speculate on this question. So he gives the example of a meal. In the meal, there is main dishes and there are side dishes. So what is the main dish when it comes to reading? Srila Prabhupada's books. So there is no replacement for the main dish. We cannot fill our stomach with pickle or chutney, or drink. Not possible. They are side. But what is the main dish? So it can be rice or chapati or whatever. That is the main dish. In the same way, our main reading has to be Srila Prabhupada's books. And then, One has sufficiently read Srila Prabhupada's book, 2-3 times, 3 times read all Srila Prabhupada's books, then one can step into other books, starting with Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, translated and purported by His Grace Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu. It's a BBT book. Then one can read Tattva Sandarbha, one can read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, you know, Krishna Leela Stava. So there are different books that we can read after studying Srila Prabhupada's books. But we always have to come back to Srila Prabhupada's books. There is no end. I have read all Srila Prabhupada's books. There is no end like that. We have to come back. I have gone through these books, then again come back to Srila Prabhupada's books. Then on the other side, if one wants to read some biographies of Srila Prabhupada, one can read. But we don't just jump into this book and that book. So many books are available, I want to just try it out. This, that, etc. No, read Srila Prabhupada's books. So the focus has to be Srila Prabhupada's books. And one has to be careful what book one is reading. Very careful. Because if you go to Lohi Bazaar, there are unlimited books available in one sense. You talk about any Purana, any this commentary, that commentary, everything is available. Our aim is not to just buy all the books and fill our shelves. Study thoroughly Srila Prabhupada's books and carefully go through other books as recommended. Make sense? So this is the way we had to read. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Dvija Pitambar Prabhu.
Okay, Shabu. So you mentioned about how the study of these books is important and the distribution as well. So what's the recommended appropriate balance between the study and the distribution of how much of each should happen on a regular basis?
It depends on it varies according to situation. There is no rule as such. There is no rule how much one should study and how much one should distribute. Brahmacharis recommended 1.5 studies. Recommended 1.5 studying Srila Prabhupada's books daily. Not easy. I struggle. Not easy to read because so many other things are going on. So that is a general recommendation. So we had to take out some time for studies. Better than not reading, read 15-20 minutes. But some more time reading is good for absorption. And otherwise it's very difficult to get through all these books. Prabhupada went through so much to read all these books, to write all these books. And to read them, it takes time. What is the calculation given by Vaisheshika Prabhu? If you read 20 pages or 40 pages of Bhagavatam, we can finish in one year, right? 40 pages, yeah. If one reads Srimad Bhagavatam, 40 pages. You take this book, read 40 pages a day, then one can finish the entire 12 cantos in 1 year. If you read 20 pages, 2 years. If you read 10, then it is 4 years. So you calculate, you make a plan. So it depends on your situation. But the bottom line is, do something. Right? Whether it's come to studying or distribution, do something. Something is better than nothing. So if there is nothing happening, open the account. Do something about it. Yeah, make sense? Yeah, Hare Krishna. Any other question before we conclude? No, looks like everyone is satisfied. Everyone is hungry. So, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.